WNSG, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We're positively into the crab cake season and into the horse racing season. We're going to be doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour in Middle River at McFalls Oyster and Reel. I'll be giving away these chances to win up to $10,000, the original scratch-off. Girardi will remember the old logos and stuff, so we'll get him in here. Also, our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. You buy two, you get two free. 0% financing for 5 years. Make sure we're talking that up. We'll be at State Fair next Friday, and that is not the State Fair. That is the restaurant in Catonsville where I'll be having a crab cake with Bill Wedell from CFG Bank, as well as some others. This guy usually rolls to the Kentucky Derby. He is Baltimore's very, very own, a guy who was wanted to be Earl Weaver when he grew up, and instead he wound up being the Penn State voice and the insider for all track coverage at the Philadelphia Daily News. He was my colleague at Sports First and the Baltimore News American in January of 1984 when I began this crazy journey called sports journalism. We welcome Dick Girardi, our defending champion for all things Derby and racing and Penn State basketball and cheesesteaks and the Palestra. Girardi, how are you, courtesy of betonline.ag?
I am perfectly fine, Nestor. And yeah, you're right. 1984, so we're going on like 40 years that we've known each other. How is that even possible?
I was 15 years. I was an Ovaltine when you met me.
I was not 15 years old at that time, but I was younger than I am now.
You know what? You were like a grown-up to me. You, Marlo, Nussgarter, you were like the grown-ups to me. So
we were fake grown-ups. Yeah, we were fake grown-ups. We didn't know what we were doing.
No wonder I turned out so good. You know, I remember one of our early experiences, and I always tell this story. I had my first press pass to run film. I think I picked it up from Gene Boyers, who was at the News America at the time. He was my Facebook friend. I had to pick up film at the back press door of the Preakness on Preakness morning at like 2 in the afternoon. I picked up film or 3 in the afternoon and ran it back to South Street so we could have pictures in. And that was my first gig as 15. So it was Preakness of 84. So it wasn't Spend the Buck. It was the year before Spend the Buck. And Gate Dancer. Thank you very much. And you didn't have to look that up because that's who you are, Girardi.
Yeah. That's what I do.
And I saw Howard Cosell walking across the stall area where they, you know, in the yellow jacket, worldwide, Wide World of Sports, the whole deal.
The ABC logo, Jim McKay, the whole Groon Arles, they were all there.
How many Kentucky Derbies for you? And you're skipping this one, but I know you've been to more than I probably have had years alive.
34. 31 for the Philadelphia Daily News. One for Sports First / the News American. One as a fan back in 1978, which was my first one, went to watch a firm beat Alidar. And then one last year where I went back. I hadn't been in a few years, and I went back. I was sort of working, but not really.
When you went as a fan in 78, was this ball cap sideways, looking at Southern girls, drinking whiskey, or was this like pencil behind the ear? Because you're such a track. I mean, reading the form, you went down as like a student of, as a gambler, right?
You correct.
This thing as a gambler. Let's start with that. Now that it's all it's all, you know, legal and all good. You began this as a horse racing gambler.
100%, and I don't think you can understand the sport if you don't bet on it, which is why I'm doing a lot of these shows for betonline.ag and our buddy Jimmy Shapiro. So yeah, I did learn the game through gambling first. And in 1978, Nestor, I was actually at Pimlico on that Friday afternoon. And keep in mind, this is pre-simulcast. So I made the decision that I was going to go to the Derby and bet on Affirmed, because you could only bet on with bookmakers back then. So I flew to Louisville Friday night, no hotel room, slept in the airport, walked to Churchill Downs the next day. I don't remember exactly how I got in, but I ended up watching the race in front of a drunk guy who handed my mint julep to, because it was so horrible to taste. He was excited, and he let me watch in front of him, and he had a great seat right near the finish line. I had 200 to win on a firm, which at that time was a lot of money.
$200?
Yeah, he was
$200 a week at the News American back then.
Yeah, I wasn't making anything. I wasn't working. I was on the track every day. I was driving a cab in Towson. Jimmy's cab, 296-7200, blue and white, but who could remember?
I get hammered at the crease, and if Ekman would have said, call him two cabs, Girardi would have picked me up.
Yeah, speaking of the crease, my buddy Kevin Sweeney, who you probably know, a legendary lacrosse player at Boys Latin back in the day. Kevin used to work at the crease, and he used to see me at late at night sitting in my cab on Chesapeake Avenue and York Road looking at a racing form, like at 1 a.m. when he would leave work. So, yeah, he still tells that story.
I got Pino in the six tomorrow, you know.
That's right. That's exactly right. But, yeah, that was my first Derby experience. And I ended up at a hotel/restaurant downtown Louisville that night. I think I know which one it is, but it's hard to remember. And then I flew back to Baltimore on Sunday morning. And I never had a hotel room, but I had $360 more than I started with.
I went to my first Derby. I want to say it was 96. And went as a media member with a hat and toured everywhere. I broadcast in the backstretch. I met Bo Derek.
Ooh, yeah. Very nice.
I got a picture with Bo Derek.
10. Yeah, 10. There you go.
At that time I had been on the backstretch, so I knew Nick Zito a little bit, the people that were involved in the game a little bit. This is it's such a special event, the Kentucky Derby. We can talk about the food, the hats, all that stuff, but you're here to talk about the race. So let's talk about the race on behalf of BetOnline AG. Forte. I thought he was a running back. I'm not sure. give me a way to beat the favorite this week, other than the fact that, you know, they're going to start some stalls in Lexington, I think, right? They run a lot of horses.
Right. So Forte's 13-4 at Bet Online right now, which is like 3-4-1, basically, is a way to explain it to people. But that's the number. Bet four, you win 13 on Forte. Now, it's interesting. Todd Pletcher has started, Nestor, 62 horses in the Derby, but that's kind of a misleading stat. He's only won twice, but he's really started horses in 22 Derbies, right? A lot of times he's running against himself, like this year where he has three horses. He has had one favorite out of those 62 horses, Always Dreaming, and the horse won. This will be the second time Pletcher has had the favorite. So I do think Forte is the most logical winner of the race. There's been, of these 20 horses, 7 grade one wins. Forte has 4 of them. So he's by far the most accomplished horse in the race. But I don't think he's anything like a Cinch. I don't think he's Justify. I don't think he's California Chrome or American Pharaoh. I think he's not much better than he was 6 months ago as a 2-year-old when he won the Breeders' Cup. A good horse, but no superstar.
All right. So then how do we beat the horse? And I would think that you would not be, a little Dick Girardi would not be flying down to lay 200 on the favorite in this race, right? So no. You're trying to take this horse down. Give me some Derby lore as far as when these 20 and 30 to 1 shots happen. Bad weather. The last time my wife and I went there, the storm blew in, the black storm blew in.
Yep.
20 minutes before the race, we got the hell out of there. We watched the race from the hotel room. We went all the way to Kentucky, didn't watch the race because it looked like a whole lot less fun to have been there. Strange things happen on Kentucky Derby Day, including, you know, controversy, which came a couple years ago. Obviously, the Baffert controversies that are all there, but that doesn't affect this race. This race is, I love two Phils because I was a Phil Jackman guy, you know.
Well, not only do you love two Phils, I love two Phils. That's my pick. Yeah, I really like everything about this horse. I think he's going to be 20, 25 to 1. I don't think he's going to get bet on because the trainer and the jockey, Larry Ravelli and Jared Loveberry, are basically unknown on the national scene. So I think they're going to get overlooked. They kind of remind me a little bit, not that this horse has the same talent, but John Service and Stuart Elliott with Smarty Jones back in 04. People are going, well, this horse really can't be this good. You know, he's from Philadelphia. He's from Philadelphia Park. This two Phils is not that accomplished. Obviously, he didn't win the Arkansas Derby, isn't undefeated. But I loved his last race, Nestor, so I think he has a real chance at a big number. But to your point, just last year we had an 80-1 shot win this race. And typically what has to happen is you need something unusual to go on. Well, last year we had the fastest early pace in the history of the Kentucky Derby, which set it up for all the horses coming from the back. I don't think that's going to happen at all this year. I think this is a completely different scenario. Not a lot of early speed. I think you won't get early position this time, but not an easy race to pick. It's not like where you go down there, like California Chrome. I went with them. That's back in the days where you actually needed cash to bet. Now you can obviously bet on your phone. I had the biggest bankroll I've ever had for that Derby because I was 100% sure California Chrome was going to win.
Dick Girardi, he is 100% into horse racing, better than anybody I know, continuing a really, really rich tradition of horse racing coverage on this show, on this radio station. Dick, in August, it'll be 25 years for WNST that I've owned the radio station. August 3rd, it'll be 25 years. It's been 31 years of radio now. This is my 32nd year of being on the radio Derby Week. And you'll appreciate this. My original inside racing guy was you, because you were my first friend that I knew. Like, you were just pleased that I had a radio show. They gave Nestor a show back in 91.
What?
Still 15. He's an Ovaltine. So, but I had you on. I promise you, you've done every year. If you haven't, you've done almost every Preakness, but even a lot of Derbies. We usually get together twice this time of year. And you've always been a good friend to doing all of this and being a part of all this. But I'll tell you what, it makes me think of Clem Florio being a part of this 30 years ago. Many Derbies. And you said Smarty Jones. I had three buses at Belmont that day. Big Brown, I had two buses that day. You know, and then, of course, the year that it actually happens, I wasn't there for American Pharoah.
No buses, right?
Baffert in all of this. And Baffert's in my phone. And Baffert does the show every year at Preakness. And he comes on Zoom and hangs out.
Yep.
What am I saying to Bob at this time? I mean, like, what has Bob been through the last year or two here? And obviously Bob's not in this race, but when Dick comes back a minute and a half from now, 2 weeks from now, Bob will be back in the game a little bit. Where are we with the Baffert thing? Because he's the biggest star in the sport.
Yeah, he is the biggest star in the sport. Now, he's eligible to run horses everywhere, Nestor, except Churchill Downs tracks, and it ends on Saturday. Right. So the banishment from Churchill Downs tracks is over. So look,
this is the final leg of his crime.
This is it.
That's it.
And for people, and I think people got caught up in the headlines, which is not unusual. Right. They thought that Bob Baffert was the Lance Armstrong of horse racing. It's just not true. There are people like George Navarro, who is the Lance Armstrong of horse racing, who got caught and is in jail because he was using performance enhancers. That's not what Baffert was doing with Medina Spirit when he finished first in the Derby and was eventually disqualified. What we call in the game a therapeutic medication, an anti-inflammatory betamethasone that ended up in the horse's system. Legal to use in training, illegal to have in a horse's system on race day. So he was rightly disqualified. The rules were broken, but it was not a performance enhancer. Unfortunately, that's not how the public views it. So it's been a very rough couple of years for Baffert, but he's still winning races at a normal clip. None of his owners have left him. I think after Saturday, he's back bigger and better than ever.
I think I forgot how to say that again.
Betamethasone. Yeah, it's an anti-inflammatory. Basically, the reason it's not legal to have in a horse's system, Nestor, again, it's not because they think it's going to make the horse run faster. It's because it potentially could mask a horse's like lameness the morning of the race. Like and the vets they want to see a horse in his pure form to make sure a potentially lame horse doesn't go on the racetrack. That's why you can use it to train to bring the inflammation down, but you don't want to have it on race day. It's not that they think it's going to make the horse run better or even maybe even feel better, but it potentially could make the vet's job harder when they're looking at the horse the morning of the race. So that's the issue. And look, the reality is it's not supposed to be in a horse's system for that reason. And that's why ultimately the horse was disqualified. Do I think they were trying to do something illicit and make the horse run faster? I do not, and I think there's nobody in their right mind who understands the sport who thinks that.
Does racing have a doping problem, Dick, as you see it?
Racing has a problem with certain people in it, and I think it has a detection problem. And one of the things that's happening now is this new law, which is about to go into effect, HISA, the Horse Racing Integrity and Safety Act, which was actually passed late in 2020, which is going to make the drug testing more uniform around the country. Now it's kind of each state does it differently. I think that's going to help. But look, are there cheaters in the game? Absolutely. And does people that do it right want to get rid of them? For sure. But it's not easy because, like in a lot of other sports, often the cheaters are ahead of the detectors. Is there a problem? Yes. How widespread is it? I don't think anyone really knows.
Dick Girardi's here on behalf of betonline.ag. You can bet online, obviously, now. And the old Fred Flintstone, bet. Kentucky Derby, Forte, Tappet Trice, Angel of Empire, Practical Move, Derma Sotogaki, I guess. Verifying. I like verifying. That's a good
you
word.
Do.
Hit Show. Not my show, but Hit Show. So yeah. All these horses into the popcorn machine. Give me a little trifecta. Give me a couple. You've already given me two fills, and I think that's a little bit provincial of you up in Philadelphia. But some other horses with a chance here.
I hear you. Now, I think that if you're looking for a live long shot, it's Reincarnate the Seven. That's the horse that was trained by Baffert, that he had to turn him over to Tim Yakteen because he's not eligible to run. I think he has the potential of blowing the race open early. He's going to be every bit of 30-1. So I think he's a horse you could use as a long shot. Of the favorites, I think Angel of Empire, the Pennsylvania bred 14, I think is really a good horse. Getting Better won the Arkansas Derby. I think he's a horse you can use. Derma Sotogaki, I'm not quite sure how you say it. He was brilliant over in Dubai, and the Japanese are starting to win races all around the world. He's the 17. I think he's usable. And of course, Master, we would be remiss if we did not talk about some of these bet online props that are out there. I know you love props in the Super Bowl. Well, how about this one? Will the winner go wire to wire in the Kentucky Derby? And again, if Mike Seven Reincarnate is going to win, that's how he's going to win. And there's a couple other horses that potentially could do that. Right now, you get plus 320. So it's 3.2-1 on a horse going wire to wire.
You would take that? I mean, how often has a horse ever gone wire to wire in a Derby?
Went wire to wire in 2020 and 2021.
Okay. Well, it's just a long friggin' way.
Yeah, it is a long way, but I don't think this pace is going to be very hot. So therefore, a horse who gets out early is going to have a better chance because I don't think he's going to have to run that fast. Like last year, that would have been a terrible bet because it was clear that wasn't going to happen. And we ended up going under 22 seconds for the first quarter. And all the horses that were near the front at the beginning were near the back at the end. And again, that's why a horse like Rich Strike was able to win under unusual circumstances.
Dick Girardi is here. I'm hoping he'll be back here 2 weeks from now.
Are you going to
make the 90 miles down to?
You know I'm coming, Dan Nestor. Crab cakes and crabs. Yes.
Well, we're doing the crab cake tour on the day before the race. So I'll have some details for you on that when I get down here. I know you owe me a cheesesteak and a palestra, and we keep talking about it. And at some point, it's going to happen. And I know, has Oriole Fever picked? I mean, you and your kids were all busy celebrating the fight and Phil's and all that stuff up there, and the 76ers and Joel Embiid, all that stuff. But have you noticed that the Orioles are at least like relevant again? It's kind of fun.
Yeah, very much so. Yeah. No, I followed them last year. It was very cool to watch. And I've certainly been following them this year. I couldn't believe when they said 19 wins was the most they've had in franchise history in April. I was like, maybe they just started later when Frank Robinson and Brooks Robinson.
Yeah, the opening day was like the 10th of April back in the day. They didn't play enough games, Dick, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, there's no way those teams didn't.
I can hear Frank or Elrod saying, we went 16-4. We only played 20 games. You know what I mean? I can hear Elrod saying that right now. Quayar didn't pitch well in April. You know that.
Yeah, he needed the warm weather for sure. But look, hey, I sat with Mike Marlowe out in the 85-cent right field bleachers and watched all those great teams in the late 60s and early 70s. And they, of course, are the greatest teams in Orioles history. There will never be better squads than them. But it's cool to see them relevant again. I hope the fans are coming. Obviously, it's a great ballpark, and it's nice to see the Orioles good again.
All right, cheesesteaks for you and me. And we got to do the palestra. I mean, you have the key.
Hey,
why don't just get the key and we'll go shoot some free throws? Like
I can get you in anytime you want. Not
be
a problem.
Like a scene out of The White Shadow. You and me just hanging out.
Steve Donahue, the Penn coach, will get us in. Not a problem. You're in whenever you want to be.
Tommy Conwell played the Ardmore last week. Conwell's usually the only thing that get me to Philadelphia is Tommy Conwell and you. That's it.
Well, let's do it, man. That's an exacta for the ages, right?
All right. 2 weeks from now, Dick Girardi will be back here yelling about how he told you that Forte was good and that Two Phils was going to be in there, and you should have paid attention to Reincarnate, because every year you give me the freaking winner, and every year I don't bet on it. It's all courtesy of betonline.ag. I have no excuse. I could bet online at betonline.ag now if I wanted to.
No excuse. Pull your phone out, get some money, get involved.
He even gave me the exotic wire to wire. So on Saturday, when I'm sitting down at Merriweather watching this on my phone, waiting for Styx to come on at the M3 event.
We have Styx at Merriweather in Columbia. Wow.
I don't know if you're familiar. Hold on, Dick. You haven't seen my hair in a while, have you? Hold on. I'm going to let it out.
I don't think I have.
You ready? This is what Rick Ocasek would say, let him brush my rock and roll hair. You know, so this is my 80s hair. Marlo will appreciate this, so make sure you share that with Marlo. So my 80s hair is back. My Hammer Jack's hair is back. Looks a little like a wig, but it looks decent when it's in the front. Doesn't look so Eddie Vedder. I'm going to M3 is the hairspray festival that happens every year at Merriweather. It's happened for 20 years. And this year's really special because my childhood friends at Child's Play, they were a signed band in the 80s on PolyGram. They've gotten back together. Brian, we lost Brian. He's from Essex. We lost him about 10 years ago. But they're doing a reunion at M3 at 12:45 in the afternoon. So I'm all day at M3 this year, but I'm beginning the day on Saturday. We're going to be at Adam's Jeep in the morning. Mike Bordick's going to be signing autographs, and we're doing a turn for the Chesapeake Feline Association. We're adopting beautiful cats.
Nice.
So that's my Saturday, but I just wanted you to know that the 80s are coming back. Rock and roll is coming back, and Styx is coming back.
I can tell. As well it should. We love the 80s.
I'm sailing away. Come sail away with me, Dick Girardi.
Aren't we all?
Dick Girardi, formerly. Are you still formerly in the Philadelphia Daily News, or you're done with them, right?
That is correct. Yeah, I've been out for 5.5 years. World's greatest place to work. We're actually having a reunion in June of all the crew that was there for years and years.
Wow. Phil Jasner coming?
Unfortunately, Phil Jasner has passed away, sadly.
Oh, no. I did not know that. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, we lost Phil about 10 years ago. Bill Conlon, we've lost several. John Smallwood, who's a Baltimore guy, we lost John recently. So yeah, we've lost
hockey writer. Give me his name. He worked in Toronto for years too, covering hockey.
Jay Greenberg also passed away not that long ago.
Oh my God! These were the men I worked with. So I mean, I bet you don't know. I mean, let me tell you a little Philadelphia story, because like, you know, I grew up loving the Sixers. I love the Phillies. And in the 80s, when I worked for Jack Gibbons at the Sun, and who you know very well, was one of your colleagues. Yes, so Jack put me on the NBA and the NHL sort of backup beat. And I was 19, 20 years old. I covered Dr. J's last game at the Spectrum. I sat next to Mike Wilbon, and the press seating had already been moved up to the mezzanine then. But Phil Jasner was covering the Sixers then, and I covered the Flyers, many, many Flyers games at the Spectrum up there. Best seat, best press box seat in the world for a hockey game at the Spectrum. It was unbelievable. Sure. I would sit next to Gene Hart. Sit next to Gene Hart, you know? Yeah. So, like, I want to give you some Philly memories because I have them. I love the Spectrum, and I love those ice cream. They would coat the ice cream and then freeze the damn thing and hand you the cone, and the cone would stay live for 15 minutes. Still do it that way in Philly. Yeah, so I have great memories, but your paper, man, I would have loved to work the Philadelphia Daily News to be out, to be out there and write that way. It was a gift.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, Nestor, when I got hired basically because the new Garden State Park was going to open in April 1 of 1985. They needed somebody to cover horse racing. But I was more there as like –
and they were going to take Spend the Buck and Screw Racing up and bring you along the way back.
That's exactly – I was there more to do picks than writing, and I really learned how to write by reading our paper because we had so many great legendary writers. I mean, you just met Phil Jasner, Bill Conlon, Stan Hockman, John Shuley and Mark Wicker. I mean, it was a Hall of Fame group.
Did Cram Jay Greenberg there too? Or was Cram at the –
Mark Cram, sure. Yeah, Mark worked there for years. Yeah, Mark's one of my good friends, Baltimore guy. But, yeah, it was phenomenal, the talent, the writing talent. And there would be 40, 50 pages of sports every day. And you could write as long as you wanted. And we had these late deadlines. you know, Jack Gibbons worked there for a little while. He was on before he came and became the sports editor of the Evening Sun. So yeah, it was a writer's paradise, and it really was. I was there 33 years, and it was the whole time for me. I mean, I got to cover everything I wanted to cover. You know, all the Triple Crowns and did 25 Final Fours. I did the Olympics in 92. I mean, it was just an awesome place to work. Now that whole world has changed, but you know, those of us of a certain age were really fortunate we got there at the right time.
I'm glad I brought up Phil Chasner's name, and I'm glad I brought up Jay Greenberg and some people that were always phenomenal. Really, really kind, to, like you were, like everybody was, because I was such a whippersnapper. You know, 17, 18, I wanted to set the world on fire. I wanted to be Chris Berman. I turned out to be Chris Thomas, which is just fine. You know, it's worked out great.
Nothing wrong with being Chris Thomas. Another one of the legends.
I took Howard Scherr. I was on the night that Springsteen opened the arena. It was opening day here. We opened a new arena. By the way, Bill Wedell from CFG Bank is going to be my guest next Friday at State Fair. We did the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. I'll learn all about the arena. You got to come down and see the new arena and what they've done to it and whatnot. But I was with Howard at what's now the Pratt Street Ale House, which was PJ Crickets, right? So Howard and I met in Section 10, Middle Concourse of Skipjack Games. He and his dad, Arnie, went to the games, and I sat with them with my notebook covering the skipjacks in 86, 87, 88, 89, right? For the Evening Sun. So Howard and I were together. I said, Howard, I want you to come with me. We walked to the other side and I said, you see this room? And it's a function room now. And there are people in it. It was opening day. It was before hour and a half before Springsteen. Everybody's getting popped. Everybody's drinking. Orders are winning. So I'm in there and I said, I want you to see this space. And I want you to envision a long table in here and Gene Ubriaco at the end of it. And Chris Thomas at 11 in the morning having... He just didn't have the iced tea. I think he had the Long Island iced teas at lunchtime, if you know what I'm talking about.
Yes, he did.
He did. And it was me, him, three other, Jack Dawson or, you know, maybe Keith Mills or whatever, there to get sound. And Jimmy Jackson and George Taylor and Gene's there, and they serve crab cakes. There's always about crab cakes. And Gene would get up. He had a little fake podium that they would do for television for the 5 o'clock news. And Chris Thomas would hold court at PJ Crickets. And man, so what I want you to do is now that I know you know Cram well, but I sort of knew that because Cram comes on all the time, talks Orioles and Joe Frazier with me a little bit. Cram comes down to Oriole games all the time with his kid and like all that. We should go to an Oriole game together. You should come down with Cram, jump in a car, and come to an Oriole game because they're relevant. Pick any game you want. They're in the pennant race. So pick any game in June, July, August. They're in the race this year for real. I'm their biggest detractor, and I'll tell you, they're real. So come on down and go to a game, and I'll get you a real crab cake. We'll go over to Costas. We'll get some crabs. If Adley's is open, we'll get you crab cake if you pick the right day. But come do it, all right?
I like the sound of it. And to Chris Thomas, you mentioned Chris, one of my really good friends. We spent many days together at racetracks all over the place, Timonium and Pimlico and whatever. And I always will miss Chris because what a great, great guy he was.
In 1982, on my first day of high school, I didn't get into journalism class. And I got sent down to the high school to change my form so I could be in journalism. But they put me in something stupid like gym or science, math, something I didn't want to do. So my parents take me down to meet Don Moeller. And Don Moeller spends like an hour with me, and I'm 13 years old. I mean, before you knew me, this is 3 years before you met me, 2 years before you met me. And he said to me lovingly, he's like, you're going to be the next Chris Thomas. That's what he told me. So, you know, 40 years later, Moeller and all of our exploits and you and all of our exploits, to say that I turned out to be the next Chris Thomas, that's high praise, man. It doesn't get any higher than that. For me.
You just need your Bob Irsay doll on Saturday nights.
I had the Irsay doll from Rasig. I've had both the Irsay dolls. They're both, you can see them both. The original is at Nacho Mama's in Canton, and the mini Bob is at the back bar at the Nacho Mama's in Towson. All right.
Yeah, I mean, Chris was so far ahead of his time. I mean, nobody was doing the stuff he was doing back then.
Well, including being inebriated on the air on Saturday night interviewing Bob.
Well, there was that. But it's That's what made it so great.
You want to see me inebriated during the show? Come on over to McFowl's and I'll have a beer. I actually had a Narragansett beer last week at Captain Larry's. Free plug for Captain Larry's. Had a great time there. We were at Fadley's last Friday. Maryland Crab Cake Tour moves on. If Girardi hangs around long enough, he's going to be subjected to it on the 19th before the parade. All brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. Instant Lottery scratch-offs. I'm giving these away. The throwback. You know, Dick, I got something for you because you're an old gambling guy. You appreciate this. Maryland Lottery's got their 50th anniversary. You remember that logo, brother? Yeah. You like that?
Yeah. I remember when it started. I remember buying at the old Acme on Charles Street. I remember buying tickets because it was the second lottery out there. New Hampshire was first and Maryland was second, if my memory serves. Does that sound right?
My wife would be happy to know that. She's from New Hampshire, so I'll find that out.
New Hampshire is definitely first. Yeah, no, Maryland. I remember buying tickets. Yeah, real early on.
They probably looked like Charles. This, right? This was the original. That was the original logo. These are all the logos.
I got no memory of that. I just remember walking the train tracks from Armagh Village down to the Acme, which is now, I think, Eddie's on Charles Street between a little north of Elkridge Golf Course,
where I used to sneak on right there. Yeah,
where I used to sneak on regularly and play a few holes back in the day.
Dick, they've cleaned you up, man, but you'll never change. It's Derby week, and you're here, and Dick's betting on the races. It's all brought to you by betonline.ag. Appreciate you, Dick. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll have some more fun, and I'll come up with some more stories that my audience doesn't care about, doesn't want to know about, but will be wildly entertained about once they hear it. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive. Stay with us.